The Heart Sutra is a very short sutra, but it contains a lot of philosophy about prajna. And last time, we were talking on the second line of the sutra. The second line of the sutra is when Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva practicing the profound prajna paramita perceived that the five skandhas are empty. This is the sentence that we've been talking about. Let me repeat this sentence again. That when Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, we already explained what is Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, practicing the profound prajna paramita, we already explained what profundity means and what prajna paramita means, perceived that the five skandhas are empty. We already have explained the meaning of perception, the meaning of perceiving, the meaning of contemplation, the mental contemplation. Perceived that the five skandhas are empty, we already have explained the five skandhas. But just to have a review, because that's a very important sentence, of course, in later sentences, there's still a lot more to regurgitate, to expound on the philosophy of the five skandhas. When we are studying a sutra, we're actually studying the self. Now, it's very important that we ask ourselves, who am I? Where do I come from? Where would I go? Why am I living in this world? You have to venture into the spiritual odyssey of the self, because that's where emotional afflictions come from. That's where the problems come from. So we have to study the problem at its root. So we have to study the self. And what is this body made up of? You and I. We, every individual, is an entity made up of the five skandhas. The body and the mind. When we talk about a body, we're talking about our five senses, our body organs, which contains the 36 parts, the liver, the spleen, the skin, the bone, everything. We already have classified it. That's the material part. That's the body part. This is an apartment, a body apartment, in which we have to keep it going. But other than the body, we also have the mind. The mind and the body makes up of the self. And the body is perception, conceptualization, volition, and consciousness. Rupa, that is the material part, the body part, and then we also have the spiritual part, which is Vedanta, Samjna, Samskara, and Vijna. In common English, we have feelings and sensations, conceptualizations and thinking. Volitional is carrying out into action and through speech, and consciousness, which is a conglomeration of all the spirituality of ourselves, the mentality. And all these, we need explanation. We already have touched on it. In the next sentence, we say, we perceive that the body and the mind, which is the five skandhas, are empty. In Buddhism, we always say emptiness, void. In the Sanskrit language, in the Buddhist language, is sunyata. What do you mean by empty? Everything is empty, everything is void, everything is nothingness. But does emptiness really mean nothingness? We already have talked a lot about it, but let's get into more in this session for another 5 minutes or so. What is emptiness? We say everything is empty. What is emptiness? Emptiness, when we study emptiness, it does not mean that emptiness in the common English language is voidness, nothing inside it. There's not just nothingness. We have everything. How can you say empty? So what is the meaning? What is the meaning of actual spiritual, philosophical meaning of empty? We say we perceive that as empty. It exists, we perceive that as empty. Emptiness is a very broad subject in the Buddhist philosophy. And it requires a lot of time and practice and contemplation to understand it. But just for the purpose of an initial understanding, when we perceive what is empty, why don't we perceive from two perspectives? Emptiness regarding from the perspective of time, emptiness from the perceptives of space, right? The whole world is nothing but time and space. When we talk about time, what do we have? We have the past, the present, and the future. Nothing else. The past, the present, and the future. There's time. We say the past is empty. The future is empty. And even the present is empty. Why do we say that? It's easy to understand the past is empty. When we say empty, that means, can you get it back? Can you get the past back? In your past history, say for example, you've gone through an abusive childhood. You've gone through a lot of miserable circumstances. You have a lot of suffering. A lot of people have a lot of suffering. You have happiness. You have delightfulness sometimes. But whatever the past is past, you can't get it back. You can't stay in the past. There are people who get involved and stay in the past and always reminiscent of the bad past, and they bury themselves in a wave of depression. They always think how abusive they have gone through, how they've been abused, how they have gone through painful circumstances. They always dwell into it, and that leads them to suffering. But the past is gone. However you suffer, what kind of happiness you have, it does not matter because you can't get it back. It's gone already. Why do you still dwell into it? But we do. We always get back to the past. The past is gone. How about the future? The future hasn't come. Why do you worry about it? You bury yourself in a depressive past, and you also dwell into a worrying future. It hasn't come yet, but you always worry about it. And how about the present? There's no such thing as present, because every minute take away. 1 minute ago, I was talking about this, but it's gone. 1 minute ago, I didn't hear the bell goes, dong, dong, but it's gone. 1 minute ago, that guy scolded me. He said I was foolish. He humiliated me with that sentence. And that happened about 1 minute ago, but it still stayed. I want it to stay in my mind. I want it to stay in my ears so that I can dwell onto it. I want it to stay. The minute that sentence is already gone, but I want it to stay in my mind and I dwell into it, I ponder into it, I get mad, I felt humiliated, and I feel that I got the revenge. I got to do some bad things about it. I got to get even with that guy. I want to hit him. I want to do something about it. Because you're still dwelling into something that is already gone. That's suffering, you know, that tortures us. Something is already gone. That sentence, it has no material, it has no essence, no substance to it. But you still dwell into it, pondering about it. You're bringing suffering to yourself. Not that sentence. The language has no guilt. The guilt is in your mind. That object is not guilty. It's your mind that brings you the guilt. Isn't that stupidity? You dwell into it, the Buddha said, throw it away. It is something that you shouldn't be dwelling in. Forgive it. Let it go.